Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to The Deep Dive.
Glad to be back.
Today, we're going to be really diving deep into Intel's Q3 2024 earnings.
Sounds good.
We've got a bunch of cool stuff to look at. We've got the earnings call transcript.
Awesome.
We've got the presentation deck that they use for the earnings call. And then we've got their 10Q filing.
Yeah. Should be fun to look at all that together.
Yeah. So we're really going to try to get the full picture here.
Sounds good.
So I guess let's just jump right into it, huh?
Let's do it.
So the big headline number, revenue came in at $13.3 billion for the quarter.
Okay.
Which is down $874 million from the same quarter last year.
Right.
But it's up a little bit from the previous quarter. So what do you think? What's the overall picture here?
Well, I think it's kind of mixed bag when you look at those numbers. I mean, a year-over-year decline, that's definitely something to be a little concerned about. But that little uptick from Q2, that suggests that maybe things are stabilizing a bit. But, you know, to really get the whole picture, we got to look beyond just that top-line revenue number, right?
For sure, for sure. Let's talk about profitability then.
Okay.
How did Intel fare in Q3?
Yeah, so that's where things start to look a little bit tough.
Yeah.
Their operating income actually ended up as a loss of $5.8 billion.
Wow.
And then earnings per share dropped to a loss of $3.88 per share.
Oof, so navigating some pretty rough waters here.
Definitely.
And of course, we've got to talk about that big $3.1 billion impairment charge. For those of us who don't speak fluent accounting, what does that actually mean?
Okay, so imagine you buy a brand new smartphone.
Okay.
Top of the line, expecting it to be amazing. And then a couple months later, a new one comes out even better. And now yours is basically worthless.
Right.
That's kind of what's happening here. Intel's acknowledging that some of their assets, primarily related to their Intel 7 manufacturing process, aren't worth as much as they initially thought.
So they're like marking down the price of their smartphone.
Exactly.
Because it's not the hot new thing anymore.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that really speaks to some of the struggles that Intel has been facing, especially with keeping up with that rapid pace of innovation.
Right. Makes sense. But even in these rough waters, there are some signs of calmer seas ahead.
Yeah.
The earnings presentation definitely highlighted some positive developments.
For sure.
What stood out to you?
Well, one of the bright spots is the progress they're making with their Intel 18A technology.
Okay.
Think of that as like the next generation of their chip making could be a lot more powerful and efficient.
So it's like going from a gas-guzzling car to like a Tesla.
Exactly.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So they're investing in the future. What else is giving you some optimism?
Well, the foundry wins that they talked about, that's pretty cool. So traditionally, Intel's mainly focused on making their own chips.
Right.
But now they're starting to manufacture chips for other companies.
Oh, so they're opening up their factory to outside clients.
Yeah, exactly.
That seems like a good move, especially when the global demand for chips is going up.
Yeah, it could be a huge driver of growth for them in the future.
Awesome.
And then there's this really interesting $3 billion award for a secure enclave project.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have a ton of details on that.
Right.
But it sounds like they're partnering with the government on cybersecurity, which is obviously a really important field.
Huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm starting to get a sense of the big picture here. But let's dive a little deeper into those revenue numbers.
Okay.
What's happening with their different business segments?
So their client computing group,
mm-hmm.
or CCG, which is basically the PC chips, saw a 7% decline in revenue compared to last year.
Yep.
And that's partly because global PC sales have been slowing down.
Right. People aren't upgrading their computers as much.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. Tracks with the rest of the tech market. What about their other segments?
Well, Altera, that's their programmable solutions group, they actually saw a much bigger decline,
right.
44%.
Wow, okay.
And that segment is affected by spending in networking and industrial applications, and those have kind of been hit by the uncertain economic climate we've been seeing.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So some headwinds in their more traditional markets there.
Right.
But what about the areas where they're focusing their future efforts?
Yeah.
Like data centers and AI.
That's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
So their data center and AI segment, DCAI, actually saw a 9% increase in revenue year over year.
Okay, so that's a pretty big win, especially when you consider the overall revenue decline.
Absolutely.
Why is DCI doing so well?
Well, it's all about riding the wave of the future, right? I mean, data centers are the backbone of the internet.
For sure.
And AI is changing everything.
Absolutely.
So Intel's trying to position themselves in those high growth areas.
Makes sense.
And it seems to be paying off.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, so they're really leaning into data centers and AI. Seems like a smart move.
Yeah.
Considering how much those areas are growing.
Absolutely.
But, you know, to really stay competitive.
Right.
They got to be lean. They got to be efficient.
For sure.
What do they say about cost and capital reduction initiatives?
Yeah, they're definitely tightening their belts, trying to streamline operations,
okay,
reducing their real estate footprint, and even reducing their workforce, actually.
Okay, and how many people are we talking about here?
About 16,500 employees.
Wow. Okay, so big changes.
Yeah.
I know job losses are never easy, but what's the strategy behind these cost reductions?
Well, it's all about focusing their resources, you know, becoming more agile, freeing up capital to invest in those key areas like we talked about, the 18A technology, DCAI, where they see the most potential for growth. It's a tough step, but probably a necessary one.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, cool. So they're making moves to navigate these kind of turbulent times.
Yeah.
Now let's get our hands dirty and look at the financial statements themselves.
All right, let's do it.
What interesting tidbits did you find buried in the consolidated condensed statements of income, balance sheets, and cash flows?
Well, the statements of income, they kind of paint a clear picture of that revenue and expense breakdown that we were just discussing.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that might not be super obvious is that they've recorded a pretty significant valuation allowance against their deferred tax assets.
Hold on. Valuation allowance, deferred tax assets. For those of us who are not accountants, can you break that down a little bit?
Okay. So imagine you've got a bunch of gift cards that you've been saving up.
Okay.
And then you find out that some of those stores might be going out of business.
Uh-oh.
You'd probably be a little less excited about those gift cards, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So deferred tax assets are kind of like gift cards for future tax breaks.
Interesting.
An evaluation allowance is like acknowledging that some of those gift cards might not be worth as much as you thought.
So basically, it's a sign that their recent losses and the uncertain future could impact their ability to use those tax benefits.
Exactly. Okay. And it kind of gives you a glimpse into their financial health.
Right.
And the challenges they're facing.
Makes sense. So speaking of challenges, we can't ignore the legal battles that are brewing.
Yeah, that's true.
What are some of the key cases that we should be aware of?
Well, there's this ongoing European Commission competition matter.
Okay.
That goes all the way back to 2009, actually.
Wow.
And they were fined 1.1 billion euros for antitrust violations.
Oh, wow.
And now they're facing potential default interest payments because the case has been going back and forth on appeal.
So because of these delays,
right,
they could actually end up owing even more money.
Exactly.
Okay, so what's the heart of this dispute?
So the European Commission says that Intel was using unfair tactics to basically stifle competition in the microprocessor market.
Okay.
Essentially trying to squeeze out rivals, but Intel says that they were just competing hard, you know, and they didn't break any rules.
So it's kind of he said, she said, but with billions of dollars on the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. And then there's all those lawsuits related to the Spectre and Meltdown security vulnerabilities.
Yeah, every tech company seems to be dealing with that these days.
Yeah, it seems like a big problem.
That's a huge problem.
So what's Intel doing to address these security concerns?
Well, they're investing a ton in research and development, trying to make their chips and software more secure.
Okay.
They're also working with other companies, sharing information and best practices.
So it's kind of like a collective effort?
Yeah, like a joint effort.
To strengthen the defenses of the entire tech ecosystem.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay. Uh-huh. I also noticed you highlighted something called their 2024 Equity Incentive Plan.
Oh, yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, this plan kind of gives us a peek into how they motivate and reward their employees and executives.
Okay. Interesting. So like a window into their corporate culture?
Yeah, and their strategic thinking.
Cool. So what does this plan tell us? Are they showering their employees with stock options?
It's actually a little more sophisticated than that.
Okay.
They offer a mix of equity awards, including stock options, restricted stock units, those are called RSUs, and then performance-based stock units, those are PSUs.
Okay. Break those down for me.
So stock options, those are like golden tickets, you know? They give employees the chance to buy Intel stock at a set price and hopefully it goes up.
Yeah. That's the classic Silicon Valley dream.
Exactly.
What about the other ones?
So RSUs are more like a vesting schedule. So employees gradually earn ownership of company stock over time.
Okay.
And encourages them to stick around.
Right.
And then PSUs, those are really interesting. They're actually tied to specific performance goals.
Oh, okay.
Like hitting revenue targets or launching new products.
So it's a way to align employee compensation with the company's success.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah. So it's like deciphering a secret code to understand their strategy.
Exactly.
Love it. Now, before we wrap up, I want to get your take on one more thing.
Okay.
In the 10Q filing, they talk about their investments.
Right.
What's the story there?
So what's really fascinating is that Intel isn't just a tech company.
Okay.
They're also an investor.
Interesting.
They've got a pretty diverse portfolio, including short-term investments like corporate debt and financial instruments. Those are relatively low risk. They provide quick access to cash if they need it.
So it's like their emergency fund?
Yeah, you could say that. But they also have a lot of equity investments, both publicly traded and privately held. And they're actively buying and selling those investments based on what's happening in the market.
So they have a whole team of financial experts managing their assets.
Yeah, they do.
Very cool.
And one thing that stood out to me was their use of hedged investments.
Okay. And what are those?
So these are investments where they've used derivatives to try and reduce potential losses from market swings.
Okay, I got to be honest. Derivatives always sound kind of complicated to me.
Yeah.
Can you break that down?
Okay, so imagine you're worried about the price of gold dropping. You could use a derivative, like a put option, which gives you the right to sell your gold at a specific price, even if the market price goes way down.
So it's like insurance for your investment.
Exactly, it's like insurance.
Okay.
And that's pretty common for companies with these big investment portfolios.
Right.
But it's still kind of cool to see how they're navigating all this stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So it just goes to show there's always more to learn.
Yeah.
Even about a company that's as well known as Intel.
For sure.
We've covered a ton of ground today.
We have.
From revenue trends and legal battles to investment strategies and employee incentives.
It's been a journey.
I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah, definitely. Always more to dig into.
But there's this one big question that I think is looming over all of this.
Okay, what's that?
Intel's trying to get back to the top of the chip making world.
Yeah.
But with all the stuff they're dealing with, all this competition, the legal battles, and having to cut costs.
Right.
Can they actually pull it off?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's an easy answer. I mean, Intel's got this long history of innovation. They've got some amazing engineers, and they're pretty good at adapting to change.
And they're really putting their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
Investing a lot in that new Intel 18A process.
Mm-hmm.
And those foundry wins show they're not just betting on one thing.
That's true. Diversifying their business and staying ahead of the curve, that's so important.
Absolutely.
But we can't forget about the headwinds they're facing. Mm. The competition is fierce.
Mm.
Companies like TSMC and Samsung are already huge in the foundry space.
Right.
And they're not going to make it easy for Intel to catch up.
And those legal problems are like dark clouds on the horizon.
Yeah.
They will drain their resources and just create so much uncertainty.
Right.
Makes it hard to focus on the future.
Absolutely. It's a real balancing act.
Yeah. It sounds like a tug of war.
Yeah.
Forces pulling them in both directions.
For sure.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Absolutely. The next few quarters are going to be crucial. Mm-hmm. They need to execute their plans perfectly, attract the best people, and deal with those legal challenges.
Right.
And then a lot depends on how the global economy does, too.
Yeah. So many things in play.
It is.
Well, it's definitely going to be an exciting story to follow.
It is.
Well, on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into Intel's Q3 2024 earnings.
It's been a good one.
We've gone over the ups and downs, the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you have a better sense of where Intel stands today.
Yeah.
But we always say on the deep dive, the learning never stops.
That's true.
So we want to leave you with one final thought.
Okay, shoot.
What if Intel actually succeeds in becoming the top dog in the chip-making world again?
Mm-hmm.
What would that mean for the rest of the tech world?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Would we see a new wave of innovation? Would it change the competition in the industry?
Those are some great questions to think about.
It's a good reminder that what happens with these semiconductor companies, it impacts all of us.
Absolutely.
From our phones to the data centers that run the internet.
It all comes back to that.
Yeah. So keep those questions in mind as you continue to learn about the world of technology.
Always keep learning.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. Until next time.
See you next time.
Keep learning, keep exploring, and keep asking those great questions.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.